This is the Brian McClain Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to the Brian McClain Show, everybody. I hope everyone's having a great morning out there, morning, afternoon, late night, evening, early morning, whenever, whatever, whatever is going on. Hope you're doing well out there. This is today's News Talk. Thank you for joining me today. I'm broadcasting live right here out of Central Texas, smack dab in the middle between Austin and Dallas. It's great to be with everybody today. Actual job posting. The Biden-Harris regime is seeking IRS agents who are, guess what, willing to use deadly force. This is by J.D. Rucker. They say there's nothing to fear about plans to add 87,000 IRS agents. They say they are not militarizing the Internal Revenue Service. But a recent job posting by the Biden-Harris regime should cause massive concern to those of us who know the IRS is coming after law-abiding middle-class Americans. The job posting for IRS Criminal Investigation Special Agent represents exactly what we've feared from this increasingly tyrannical federal government, as Andy Ngo reported. The American IRS has a job posting for prospective special agents where you will need to carry a gun and be willing to kill. The American IRS has a job posting for prospective special agents. It's up. You can see that. You can go find it. I've got a link to it and an image of the posting. I can verify this is accurate. Some may say this role is a limited one and would not represent many IRS agents. Currently, the IRS CID is comprised of just over 3,000 agents. Now, they're hiring, and based on the number of guns and ammunition they're purchasing, they will not be a small unit for long. As Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on Twitter, 87,000 IRS agents will be hired with $80 billion taxpayer dollars when the Senate reconciliation bill passes this weekend, and they're buying more guns and ammo too. Lower to middle class Americans and small businesses will be the primary targets of Democrats' new IRS force. That is a tweet by MTG. Let's see here. So $80 billion of taxpayer dollars, the Senate reconciliation bill right there. Every tyrannical government in history claimed to be doing what was best for the people and acted like there was nothing to worry about as they ramped up their draconian forces. We are seeing that manifested by the Biden-Harris regime, perhaps. It appears so. But also, if you look around a little bit further, you'll find another article called IRS Deletes Job Posting, Seeking Applicants Willing to Use Deadly Force. So you gotta wonder, are they rolling that back because of shows like this and because of tweets like the ones I read? I don't know. You gotta wonder about that. It's not the first time I've seen a rollout of a new job position from the government that has that sort of that vibe to it, that what are you doing vibe here. But here's what the IRS post said before it was removed as far as major duties go for these positions. Adhere to the highest standards of conduct, especially in maintaining honesty and integrity. Hey, we could go for that, right? We could go for that with an IRS. I mean, we'd rather see it disbanded because, of course, it is an illegal agency, but we'll save that argument for another time. Next bullet point, work a minimum of 50 hours per week, which may include irregular hours and be on call 24/7, including holidays and weekends. Well, I guess this is going to be a high-paying job, probably a high-paying job with hours and requirements like that. Maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job. Carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. Be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants and other dangerous assignments. All right. So what does it mean? What does it mean? I don't know. I don't know, everybody. But this is the game. This is the game here. Are those 87,000 positions not available anymore? I highly doubt that. I highly doubt that. But the public, you know, kudos to the public. I'll take my hat off to the public here for making a ruckus, making some noise. Shout out to Ruckus about this, because this is, you know, did you get to vote on this? Did we get any say in this? I don't recall being asked if it was cool with me to use our tax dollars to fund 87,000 new law enforcement people under the banner of the Internal Revenue Service. Is there a need for that? Yeah, actually there is, you know, not 87,000 of them going after middle-class people and targeting people, you know, parents who go to school board meetings and say, hey, I'm not down with critical race theory being taught to my kid. I'm not down with the sexualization of children. You know, I want to make sure that's not happening in my schools. And then all of a sudden you're getting audited by the IRS. We don't need that, clearly. But there are situations, I've read the other side of these arguments, there are situations where you might need IRS representatives who can execute search warrants and things like that. There are needs for that. But in a system where the checks and balances are all screwed up, in a system where the Federal Bureau of Investigation is politicized and used by the White House and the Department of Justice to go after their political enemies, instead of doing law enforcement stuff, right, over process crimes. Process crimes should never lead to a SWAT team coming and executing a search warrant. It's just not necessary in 9 out of 10 cases when it comes to process crimes, maybe 9.9. And as you heard yesterday on the show, a lot of times these process crimes are used as sort of a foot in the door, right? It's like, well, we get the process crime, we get the search warrant from one of Jeff Epstein's buddies. can't even believe this is where we're at. And then all of a sudden they can go snoop through everything and boom, they can start looking for other things that they might consider crimes. So that's the gag there. That's the trick there. And we'll have to keep an eye on that one. I'm guessing this story will fizzle. Usually when something like this happens, it gets shuffled to the back of the deck. Kind of like the Nina Jankowicz story with the disinformation board. It was like, here is this inflammatory story. Here is something that is a vast overreach. Here is something that will get under the skin of Americans on all sides of political ideology. And oops, they didn't like it. Oops, it's got a huge backlash. Let's put it on pause. Let's delete the post. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's make it look as though we're not going to go forward with this because it was wildly unpopular, wildly, like too much, which is saying a lot because they do a lot of unpopular, illegal, immoral dictator type of stuff right in our faces and just thumb their noses about it. So when it goes so badly with public reception that they roll it back, that says a lot. But do I think this means the jobs won't be posted? No. Do I think this means the jobs will not still have those same requirements? No. They are clearly looking for people to, I don't know how many positions they had open, like if that's the entire 87,000 or what, but it's not a good look. It's not a good look. Nobody likes the IRS. Sorry, IRS agents. I don't know who would even want this job. 50 hours per week, irregular hours, 24/7 on call, holidays and weekends. How much are we, the taxpayers, going to be paying these people? 87,000 people. What percentage of them will be working under these major duties that we talked about here? very curious to know how that is going to work out. All right. Mar-a-Lago still continues to be a giant question mark. But one of the questions that some people are asking, like Adam Mill here, who writes for American Greatness, is how do we get rid of the FBI? That's a great headline. Many Americans are now asking, how do we get rid of the FBI? You know, I remember back when X-Files was the thing, everybody loved the FBI. I remember when 24 with Kiefer Sutherland was a thing. The FBI always seemed so cool, right? Hollywood made the FBI so cool. Hollywood did a great service to the FBI. Hollywood has been one of the FBI's best PR outlets, I would say. Because if you really look into the way the FBI has worked over, well, since J. Edgar Hoover, pretty much since the OSS turned into the FBI, it's not good. It's not good. There's a lot of corruption happening, a lot of pet projects, a lot of cultural wrangling. But Adam Mill writes, well, actually, this is reposted over at 21stCenturyWire.com. So a lot of times 21 Wire Newswire will write the intro to these. It should be obvious to everyone who is sober and objective by now, the White House has weaponized the U.S. Department of Justice. After the FBI raided the 45th president's home at Mar-a-Lago this week, it was perhaps the final card which the over-politicized DOJ and FBI had left to play. FBI investigators claim to have been in search of purportedly classified documents and other items related to the Presidential Records Act. However, it is now fairly clear that the Democratic Party establishment and deep state were after something else, something which they believe can prevent Trump from running again in 2024. Is the FBI fit for purpose anymore? Adam Mill writes, President Harry Truman saw the FBI as the seed of a totalitarian cancer it would later become. Truman wrote, "We want no Gestapo or secret police. FBI is tending in that direction. They are dabbling in sex life scandals and plain blackmail when they should be catching criminals. Whether it's mass unconstitutional spying, interfering in American elections, lying to courts, or entrapping and sometimes framing innocent Americans, the debate over whether we should have an FBI is drawing to a close." Almost every month, another informed author calls for the abolition of the FBI. So let's move on to the next question. How do we get rid of the FBI? In theory, a properly motivated Congress could defund and shutter the FBI with a simple piece of legislation. Unfortunately, until Democrats and establishment Republicans swallow their fears and wake up to the threat the FBI poses to self-government, the FBI remains above the rule of law and beyond the reach of democratic accountability. Still, there are incremental steps that could be taken to challenge the lawlessness of this untouchable agency. The winds of public opinion have begun to blow strongly against the FBI, making the previously unthinkable possible. Republicans and Democrats should join together to take action if they still can. End the FBI's counterintelligence work. There's a reason why the FBI loves to paint its opponents and political rivals as quote-unquote agents of Putin or stooges for Russia. Through the Russian collusion hoax, the public learned that the FBI can use a false allegation of a target acting as a foreign agent to spy on political opponents. While the FBI, in theory, was supposed to have probable cause for that, Carter Page, a figure in the Trump campaign, was an agent of Russia. It lied to the FISA court to conceal Page's history of providing information voluntarily to the CIA. Through the warrant to spy on Page, the FBI, in coordination with subcontractors for the Clinton campaign, spied on the Trump campaign. Long after the FBI knew there was no there, it used sham counterintelligence investigation to engineer the appointment of a special counsel to interfere with the peaceful transition of power. The FBI has been ineffective at using the FISA court to catch real spies, however, preferring instead to reverse engineer warrants on real American targets who happen to have some incidental contact with a Russian. The FBI has shown it cannot be trusted with the domestic counterintelligence brief and that power should be reassigned to an agency that won't abuse the power. You can pick up the rest of that article at American Greatness or 21stCenturyWire.com. We're going to take a quick station break over here, everybody. You are listening to today's news talk.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
China halts military climate ties with the U.S. and sanctions Pelosi in fury over the Taiwan visit. I thought this was a terrible idea from the get-go on her behalf. I thought it was remarkably arrogant. I didn't think it would help our relationships with China. And I am not a person who's anti-China. I'm not anti-Russia. I respect them both. I think we need more statesmanship than like dares. You don't play chicken with countries with nuclear weapons, but Nancy Pelosi thought it'd be great to go over there and roll into Taiwan. I said, they're not going to do anything to Nancy. Listen, they're not going to do anything to her. If they wanted to do something to us, it could be cyber warfare. It could be trade embargoes. They could increase the imports of drugs across the border illegally in the form of fentanyl. There's a lot of things that you could do that do not involve lifting a weapon.
The program and Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
You have to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice, freedom of assembly, freedom of health. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. CC Woods is going to be joining me at the bottom of the hour here coming up soon. We're going to talk corruption again, and that's going to be interesting. We got a couple of doozies for you out there. But before we get to that at the bottom of the hour, let's continue on here with the Mar-a-Lago raid. I'm gonna double down on calling it a raid. All right. I know the mass media cartel pundits out there want it to be a thing that we have to call it a execution of a search warrant. But you know what? Considering what the FBI is being used for here, let's just stick with the way they don't like it and call it a raid. Okay. U.S. political pundit Mark Levin unleashed a scathing rebuke of the FBI raiding Donald Trump's house in Palm Beach, Florida. Levin says the operation was outrageous and the worst attack on this republic in modern history. Wow, that's pretty scathing. So Levin appeared on Hannity. Levin is a former chief of staff to U.S. Attorney General Edwin Messi. And he called into Hannity on Fox News Monday to give his reaction to the then breaking news that FBI agents executed a search warrant at Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. They were ostensibly there searching for evidence that Trump violated federal records, keeping laws, and this kind of thing. But Levin says, first of all, I'm a former chief of staff to a United States Attorney General. We would never, ever have done this, ever. So that's what he said to Hannity there. He also said, number two, it's 90 days before midterm election. That's outrageous. Number three, everybody pretty much knows that Donald Trump is going to run in the Republican primary for the president of the United States. And so you have a sitting president who wants to run against him and his attorney general acting like this. Drawing on his experience with the Department of Justice, Levin said that the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, Matthew Graves, had jurisdiction over the Trump presidential records case because the National Archives is located in D.C. Graves is also also the U.S. attorney overseeing the January 6 investigations. Go figure. Levin said Graves' office likely coordinated with the U.S. attorney's office in Florida and that the FBI agents in South Florida would have been the ones who conducted the raid. Quote, if they are playing it by the book. The U.S. attorney wouldn't have done anything without the sign-off of the Attorney General of the United States, period, Levin emphasized. He also explained that the precision of the FBI raid suggested it had been planned for some period of time, possibly weeks. For months, watchdog groups have accused former President Trump of violating the Presidential Records Act by improperly handling classified documents. The National Archives has said Trump tore up some documents he was supposed to preserve while in office and took other materials with him to Mar-a-Lago after leaving office. Let me just pause right there for a moment. So Trump allegedly ripped up a document or two or three. I don't know. What evidence is there of that? We haven't been shown that as far as I know. That's a media talking point. Is it true? Well, it would be real easy to show us the evidence, you know. That's the problem with the mass media cartel. They want to tell us what's happening and what to think about it without showing us any evidence, any counterpoints, anything like that. It's all narrative-based, narrative management. So if we go from narrative-based talking points, we can see that this does not match up. This something is rotten here because Hillary Clinton was notified almost a week ahead of time before anyone showed up at her residence where she had an illegal server holding tens of thousands of emails that shouldn't have been there. Tens of thousands. And we're talking about a server, right? So a server is on a network. And if those were classified servers, which they say that they were, then that is orders of magnitude crazier than having some paper documents. I don't care if it was a dozen boxes of paper documents that are in question. That is a small set of information when you compare it to someone like a Hillary Clinton who had an entire server access set up. So that server access has access to the entire network. Right? The entire classified network, or at least segments of the entire classified network, because of course it is compartmentalized depending on levels of security. How did that get in her home? Why was she given a week's notice? Why did she delete 30 or 30,000 or more emails from these servers? Well, you got to wonder. You got to wonder why that happened that way and why a few boxes of treeware that Trump has are such a big deal. What's in those boxes, I wonder? Why was no notice given? Why was Trump's lawyers not allowed to be there and witness what was taken? Why only 1 hour notice? And that notice is only, I repeat, only given to the Secret Service assets there at Mar-a-Lago. Trump himself wasn't told. His lawyers weren't told. Barron was home alone with the security, as far as I can tell, with Secret Service security. Who knew this was going to happen? And it just seems that, you know, it's the same sport, but I feel like we're comparing apples to oranges here. Right? We're talking about a president, a former president, and a former first lady. What is the big difference here? Why does Clinton get a week notice? Why does Clinton get the leeway to delete whatever she wants from these servers? Yet Trump is treated this way. So I don't know. I don't know. They say earlier this year that the National Archives and Records Administration recovered 15 boxes of presidential records from Trump's residence in Florida, which allegedly included classified national security information. Trump said the records were given to the archives upon request in accordance with federal law, but the agency referred the matter to the Justice Department. See, now that also shows that Trump had nothing to hide, allegedly, here. Most likely there was not anything to hide, and he was already being compliant and request to return documents and whatnot. So if this is all process oriented, well, guess what? There was no need for the FBI. There's no need for any of this. Maybe more information will come. I cannot wait to see what their gambit is here, what their game is here, how this is supposed to work. What is it that they are doing other than ensuring that the Trump base is very fired up and that we will have more Democrats hashtag walk away? We're going to take a bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back with CC Woods here on today's News Talk.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Taiwan has rejected the one country, two systems model proposed by China, saying only the people of Taiwan can decide the island's future. An Iranian national has been charged with trying to hire a hitman to assassinate Donald Trump's foreign national security advisor. North Korea has declared victory over COVID-19 after going 2 weeks without recording a single fever case.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. It's great to be here with you on the Brian McClain Show at today's News Talk. I'm going to be joined by CC Woods here once again on the show. CC, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm really fired up today. I'm enjoying diving into the news feeds here, and I'm excited to talk to you about more corruption stuff. I got a clip I want to play for you here.
I love your clips. They make my morning.
Good. I'm glad. I love finding them and sharing them with everybody. This one, CC, is one that I didn't even want to click on. I saw this thing rolling around in my recommendations for a while here, and I just thought, what is this about Batmobiles? That's not serious. That can't be serious. But actually, there is something serious going on here. And I'm going to play this clip for you. Go ahead and feel free to talk over it if you like, or ask me to pause, because there's a lot going on here. But this has to do with...
It's crazy. This story is ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, it's so ridiculous. You're not even motivated to tap on it if you see it. But there's something big going on here. So let me play this for you. Feel free to ask me to pause or just jump in. Here we go.
Got it.
Now to tonight's iTeam exclusive. The San Mateo County Board of Supervisors is now calling on the state attorney general to investigate Sheriff Carlos Bolanos for sending a team of investigators to raid an Indiana Batmobile garage. Dan Noyes is back with the latest on the story you'll see only on 7. Dan.
Well, and Dan, the sheriff now confirms much of my reporting that a wealthy realtor and donor asked him to help get the Batmobile that he ordered but was delayed. Carlos Bolanos insists his actions were proper. Still, a candidate for Congress is calling on him to resign.
The president of the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors tells me they have asked the state attorney general to investigate the propriety of the Batmobile raid.
And the aim is to have the attorney general conduct an investigation. But we also know that that takes a long time. And so we decided that we would also do our own independent investigation at the same time.
Atherton realtor Sam Adagnostio asked Sheriff Carlos Bolanos to intervene because the $210,000 Batmobile replica he ordered was delayed. Bolanos sent a lieutenant, sergeant, and two deputies to raid the Batmobile garage in Logansport, Indiana on July 19th.
For what? What are the charges?
Right there,
they say that there's money coming in on...
Brian.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, okay. First and foremost, the abuse of power that is involved in this case and the way that it was so carefully crafted, the lies, everything in order to get search warrants to go to another state and do a raid is mind-boggling, okay? San Mateo County is, it's a teeny tiny little county in Northern California.
Yeah,
it's not Los Angeles, you know what I mean? And
right.
Not that that wouldn't have taken place as well, but you know, when you're in a position of power like that, you, again, we have our friends, you know, from law enforcement that are regularly on the show, and you'll be talking to Pat at the third hour, former Chief Jordan from Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And I've watched it at the executive level in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, a level of abuse of power. And this happens in all branches of government, not just the Sheriff's Department. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the LA County Board of Supervisors, Washington, D.C., you name it. But for this sheriff to think that his relationship with a real estate agent was important enough to completely craft a, pardon my language, bullshit story, okay, put it before a judge to get the search warrants, to travel to it, to spend the money, to travel, taxpayers' money, to travel to another state to do an unjust raid is mind-boggling. Like, I'm floored at this one and the embarrassment on top of it all. He really does. He should just voluntarily resign, because what he did was so over the top and so inappropriate. That garage owner in Indiana, I hope he sues for millions and millions of dollars, because they deserve it. And the county's probably going to have to pay.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me pick up on the clip where we left off here. This is the shop owner, Mark Raycop, and I can only imagine his surprise. It gets even worse. Like, you just laid out some really ghoulish stuff right there, and it gets even worse. Check this out.
Yeah.
From two sources to the same car, and said, no. This is Sam's car. There's no other money on that car.
They arrested Mark Raycup, charged him in San Mateo County with two felonies, obtaining money by false pretenses and diversion of construction funds, and froze his bank account.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, Dan. This is the crazy part. They say I'm not building the plaintiff's car, but then they freeze my account so I can't build the plaintiff's car.
Sheriff Bolanos confirmed much of my reporting in this memo to all personnel yesterday, that he knew Sam Ignacio before the Batmobile case as a business leader in San Mateo County, that Ignacio contacted Bolanos personally asking him to launch an investigation, that the sheriff ordered the four-man team to raid the Batmobile garage in Indiana after getting search and arrest warrants approved by judges here and in that state. Bolanos said the plan was to have two of the investigators arrest Raycup and bring him to California, and the other to load Ignacio's Batmobile onto a trailer and escort it to San Mateo County.
Okay, I got to pause right there. A real estate mogul asks the sheriff to go raid this guy who makes custom Batmobiles for tens of thousands of dollars unjustly, and put him in cuffs and bring him back to San Mateo from Indiana. And the cops are also supposed to collect this guy's Batmobile and drive it back, even though it's not completed.
Yes, that's exactly what they were set at. First of all, these guys are not car repossessors. You know, they're not car repossessors. They shouldn't be traveling to another state, getting involved. First of all, this is a civil dispute at best. There are no laws that were broken here. He missed a payment. He was unreachable because during that time that he missed the payment, he was sent to the back of the line. I didn't realize how popular it was for people to, and how many people have the money to make custom Batmobiles. Okay. The fact that there's even a line, like there's a line, get to the back of the line, because you know what? There are other people waiting for their Batmobiles. Okay.
Yeah.
So
we're in the wrong line of business, Cece.
I know. Oh my goodness gracious. Anyway, go back to the abuse of power. So I personally have been, I'm not going to call myself the victim, but the subject of this type of abuse of power. And uh, I, don't know if you and I talked about this on air before, but last December, when I announced that I was putting my support behind a different sheriff's candidate other than our current sheriff, Alex Villanueva, who I had a very good working relationship with up until some things changed. And I decided to publicly not be so supportive of the sheriff anymore. And so the second I publicly announced my support was going to go somewhere else, I received a threat in writing in the mail 5 days later. And of course, I demanded, I let Alex know, well, another friend of mine let Alex know, and then I communicated with Alex directly. And I said, this is so inappropriate. He voluntarily opened a quote, air quotes, investigation, bullshit investigation, went nowhere, of course. And actually, the investigators who are investigating their own boss actually said to me, well, you know, you went publicly on this thread, you're putting your support somewhere else. And, you know, look at the exchange in the thread. He said, what did you expect? Meaning I should have expected to get a threat in the mail. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Then I find out that basically the sheriff's campaign people were using department resources to go through my personal information, DMV records, whatever they could get their hands on, so that they could use that information to further threaten me. Now, all they could find was a low-level car accident a couple of years ago, but they were trying to twist and turn that. And I heard from an LA Times reporter that this a resource in the sheriff's department actually had a conversation with her, the Times reporter, when I released an audio, right after I released an audio of a whistleblower being threatened by one of Alex's top guys. And so he brought my name up, basically talking about my personal life to this Los Angeles Times reporter. I lost my shit, okay? Because I'm like, who? It's illegal for them to use department resources to dig or open cases. And this is what they do. And this is very similar to what they did to this Indiana garage owner. They dig into whatever information they can find. They twist, they lie, they falsify reports with the hope that they don't get caught. Now, current Sheriff Alex Villanueva, right now, there is a grand jury that is going to be hearing the case of the, this is a big cover up that actually the LA Times reporter I was referring to earlier, she was actually publicly threatened by Sheriff Alex Villanueva on TV at a press conference. This thing blew up and I mean, it just went crazy. But anyway, a grand jury is now hearing all the evidence supporting, well, which will support the executives that have filed lawsuits against the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and basically calling out Alex and his abuse of power and that all the lies in association with this case. It's going to get ugly. But this kind of abuse of power is it's commonplace. It's commonplace in the sheriff's department. It's commonplace in among the board of supervisors, the city councils, whether they be a Malibu city council, a small town, or a big town like Los Angeles or Washington, D.C. It's rampant. The second they get elected, the second they get a taste of that power, it just takes over.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. And, you know, that was why I was so interested in this Batmobile case here out of San Mateo. You know, I have friends that grew up in San Mateo. I'm pretty familiar with the area. And I know that a lot of my friends back in the day, I can't speak for how it is currently, but I think this story speaks a lot to how it is currently. But back in the day, my friends were all pretty wary of the local law enforcement there in San Mateo. It was a little bit ham-fisted, if I recall.
Interesting.
And it looks like it's gone corporate. It's gone bougie here because now they're being used to fly. Can you imagine that travel order? Like how many people must have been involved in this that said, well, this doesn't look right, but okay. I mean, the travel order itself, the issue to move the Batmobile, you know, drive it from Indiana back to San Mateo, California, the lying about they made up a process claim there. They did the same thing to this gentleman, this guy that has a small business making Batmobile replicas. Very, very good at it too, by the way. I used to watch Adam West Batman when I was a little kid. It looks just like it. Mm-hmm. But they would make up a lie and say, oh, well, the funding wasn't done properly, so there's some kind of fraud happening here. Well, they are the ones committing that fraud to go arrest this guy and shut his business down. That's the other thing. This guy, he's got people that work for him. So it's not like just he lost access to his funds. Everyone that worked for him have families to feed and stuff like that. And none of them are getting paid for their work while he goes through this crap. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm quite shocked at the level that they were willing to go for this real estate agent, who, from what I understand about the story, he had donated, you know, there's a lot of donations to different campaigns that were going around. My belief is there has to be a lot more than just donations to campaigns that have been going on for this real estate agent to make a phone call to this sheriff, explain the circumstances, which we know he probably told him straight up the truth. Hey, I just want to get my car back. I've got $100,000 into it. Not about missing the payment, of course, but the amount that he has in and how he wants his car and the entitlement that goes through a brain like that and comes out the mouth to this sheriff and how whatever type of relationship that these two have, they must have done more than likely. They must have had a lot more going on for him to say, yeah, no problem, I'm going to risk my career and put together this elaborate case against this guy and send my team to Indiana to get your car. Who does that? You got to have a lot at stake to do that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I believe there's going to be a lot more coming out about their relationship. This could be just the thread that just completely unravels a lot more that may go down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I got to take a quick break here, Cece. We'll be right back, everybody. You're listening to Today's News Talk.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT, asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Natural disasters may seriously threaten civilization in the future, yet the mainstream media peddles a pseudo-scientific man-made climate crisis. Natural climate change is a real threat, and historical records show that global cooling is the biggest killer, not global warming. Cooling may arise from astronomic phenomena, including solar cycles, and volcanic activity can play a major role too. For example, in 1815, Mount Tambora in Indonesia underwent the most deadly volcanic eruption in recorded history. Enormous amounts of dust and ash destroyed crops and vegetation, killed tens of thousands of people, and the eruption led to tsunamis. The following year, 1816, was known as the Year Without a Summer, as abundant frost and ice continued all year. Newspapers of the day reported extensive crop failures in Europe and the United States.
Democracy in Action. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Look, everybody, look. I'm not a fan of the thin blue line, and I'm not a fan of the all cops are bastards or all cops are bad, whatever you prefer. I think both of those are a little bit extreme, okay? You shouldn't take the American flag and turn it into a black and gray thing with a blue line on it to show some sort of other group of allegiance, right? Other than the United States flag. I don't like that. I don't really care for that. I understand where it comes from, but let's be honest with ourselves here. The whole thin blue line, Punisher skull mentality is a little bit too fantastical. It's not something that should be placed, you know what I mean? It's not a superhero status that should be placed on our public servants. That is unfair to them, and it's unfair to us, and it pits us against each other, right? Because I'm an American. I'm running under the red, white, and blue and the 50 stars. And some of the people that are thin blue liners, well, they're under a different flag. They've changed that flag. That's all well and good. I'm down with brotherhood. I'm down with that kind of stuff. But when it comes to taking the flag and trying to make us think that these people are all superheroes, a story like this just blows that out of the water. I also don't like the all cops are bad thing, because we talk to lots of good law enforcement people on this show. There are lots of good ones out there. It's like any other occupation or public service. You know, there's going to be good people. There's going to be bad people. There's going to be people in between. There's going to be people that started out good and then tasted power and changed. There's going to be people that were bullied and abused as youth who used the power inappropriately. And there are going to be people that interact with ghouls like real estate agents like Sam Adagnostio, who would pull threads like this with the San Mateo sheriff to go do raids on the public dime over a Batmobile. What do you think about that, Cece? Have I gone too far? Did I piss off any thin blue liners out there, or all cops are batters?
Well, I think that you are right on the money. I am in a relationship with a deputy sheriff, and I have a lot of law enforcement friends. I'm a very big fan of law enforcement. I see the dark side. I see the light side. I am in awe of their abilities. I do. I when I talk with my man about just how they, you know, do their job and how difficult and strategic and how highly trained many of these guys are, and especially guys who have, you know, more than two decades on. It's they come from that old school law enforcement background, and it is a very, very difficult job, and it is very difficult to have a family member and or a loved one who is in law enforcement, because God forbid, you don't know what's going to happen anytime they go to work. Although That could be, the same could be said for a lot of people who, you never know, they get in the car, they could get into a horrible car accident and never come home again. Like that horrible, deadly crash we had here last week, which was huge, in Los Angeles, which made the news, which national news. So anyway, that being said, yeah, I do see that law enforcement bubble, that, you know, the thin blue line vibe, movement, whatever it is. And I have a problem with that too, because they tend to go over the top with it. But I do understand the brotherhood, and I do understand why they watch each other's back. But again, like any other either branch of government, civil service, whatever it is, there's always going to be the bad apples that really tend to spoil the bunch. Which is why law enforcement right now is really having, they need some really good reputation management, not quote, air quote, reform the way it's being reimagined in air quotes by the people like Soros and the DAs that we're recalling who don't punish criminals at all, because that's really what it boils down to. And then the morale among law enforcement goes way down, because here they are going out there putting their lives on the line to for public safety, and they get the bad guy, and then the bad guy ends up, you know, getting released. So it's a vicious circle right now. But yes, I totally agree with you. There are many, many good men and women in law enforcement that are dedicated to keeping the public safe. And then there are those who like to abuse the power. And we hear a lot of those stories, and far too many of them, on a daily basis. And, you know, again, when you're an elected official, I don't know if the San Mateo sheriff was appointed, similar to Michael Moore, who is with LAPD, or whether he was elected. But I can tell you that our current sheriff, he's got a serious reputation problem right now, really bad, because he's been a blatant just abuser of power, and it's come out. He defies subpoenas. He's just, it's mind-boggling, the arrogance that is among these types, including that real estate agent. So I want to know what's behind that relationship between the real estate agent and that sheriff, because it's deeper than just the Batmobile. It goes way deeper.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sam Adagnostio, I'm going to put some people on blast here. That's the real estate agent that initiated this thing with Sheriff Blanos or Balnos, whatever his name is, over there in San Mateo. Yeah. So what is the relationship between those guys? Do they have any current deals pending, or have there been any shady handouts or financial exchanges, or, you know, there's got to be a lot going on there.
No, you know, this guy's just not going to go, hey, yeah, I'll do you a solid. Let me just completely ruin my career right now and make up a phony investigation, waste taxpayer dollars, and send my guys over to basically bully and falsely arrest a business owner over something that should have been argued in civil court, period. End of story. So again, you know, fair is fair. And this guy should just, he should really voluntarily resign. He should have already done that very quietly and made this go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a quick update on the case too. Out of KGO San Francisco, ABC 7 here. I got to take my hat off to ABC. They did a good job with this one. But I rarely say that. I can't remember the last time I said that, if I've ever said that. Holy breaking news, Batman. In the criminal case involving a replica of the Batmobile from the 1960s TV show, the San Mateo County District Attorney has called off the arraignment for the Batmobile builder from Indiana, who's facing two criminal charges in a dispute with a wealthy realtor from Atherton. So there you go. The DA in San Mateo County there said, no, we're not going to charge this guy. So there you go. Hopefully his bank accounts have been unfrozen. Hopefully he's back to building cool Batmobiles. And hopefully this guy, this Sam Adagnastio guy is not getting his Batmobile. He is not Batman. He is not Batman. He does not deserve to drive a Batmobile, CeCe.
Oh, I hope he loses every last little dime.
Me too.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see this guy get sued big time for that.
Well, what I'd like to see even more so is whoever signed those warrants thought it was appropriate to free. I don't even know how they could have frozen those bank accounts when this is clearly a civil case. They must have lied through their teeth to get those warrants to be able to get those bank accounts frozen. I mean, it's just, and what evidence did they provide? What evidence other than, I'm dying to see what kind of evidence those judges, but I believe those judges were corrupt too. So
yeah, me too.
Just the good old boys club in San Mateo signing their careers away.
There you go. There you go. That's CeCe Woods, everybody. Thanks, CeCe, for being here. I'm with you. I am almost more interested in the Batman affidavit than I am the Trump affidavit. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.